Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is Nicholas. And we're going to continue here in our in the book of Acts. We've got chapter 24, the very last verse. After 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. And I'm not sure I know who Porcius Festus was. I guess I need to do a little history work. Latin origin, apparently, Swinish. How would you like the name Porky? That's the guy's name in Latin. Porcius, Porky. Porky Festus. Interesting. Came into Felix's room, and Felix was willing to show the Jews a pleasure and left Paul bound. So we got 2 years here. Paul is bound, but an interesting situation. Kind of like under house arrest. He can have visitors. He has certain liberty. And in Rome. And of course, we know what he's doing all that time. He's ministering and building the church in Rome. I guess they just didn't want him back in Jerusalem, perhaps. Now, in chapter 25 and verse 1, now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. So, I mean, this is a big deal. This is going on for now 2 years, apparently. And you have these guys, their whole life is bent on killing Paul and taking care of the Paul problem. We have people like that today that people have bent on them for years. I think of Tony Alamo, if what I read is true about him, and how about Kent Hovind? People bent on him, there are dozens of anti-Hovind websites, but a lot of people just bent on destroying him and his ministry, and several others. Not mainstream people. These are not mainstream ministries. They don't go after the mainstream ministries. And, you know, the Tony Alamo situation was kind of a mainstream ministry because he was reaching a worldwide audience, and I think they had to put a stop to him. And the same thing with Kent Hovind. When you go against the corporation, the corporate church structure, because, see, the corporate church structure there is to keep offense or to keep a limitation or control on the church. And when you use the power and the benefits that come with that corporate structure to go beyond those limits that they set for it, well, that's when they come down hard on you. So there's a lesson to be learned. It might be better to stay out of the corporate structure for one thing. Might be better to duplicate or to duplicate yourself in such a way that you don't provide one huge target, you know, be better to provide 10 or 100 small targets than one huge target. So there's something we can learn about that. And Paul was one of these huge targets, so they were bent on him for 2 years, but something to be learned everywhere. And Paul, of course, had liberty, and the liberty that he had was the working of our Heavenly Father and His Holy Spirit to keep him at liberty. Verse 2, and then the high priest and chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him. Okay, we've read that. They were going to lay in wait. They wanted Paul sent to Jerusalem. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. So basically, the plan didn't work the first time. That they were going to lay in wait. So 2 years later, they're going to try the same plan again to have Paul delivered and so they can kill him on the way. Verse 5, let them therefore, he said, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down to unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting in the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought in. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, I have offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, He has appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause to the king. There's a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, If it's not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that which he is accused, have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they are come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat in the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. So he's rehearsing the whole thing to Agrippa. And he continues, Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow. He said, Thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, and Festus commanded Paul, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me both at Jerusalem and here also, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, whereof I have brought him before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might have somewhat to write, for it seemed to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crime laid against him. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand, and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day, there before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did at Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even into strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said unto him, Thou, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am. And if he was speaking Hebrew, he would have said, Yahshua, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yes, we are sanctified by faith in him. Paul continues, chapter 26, verse 19, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. So you see there, Paul's preaching the gospel, the same gospel that our master preached, and the one that I desire to preach today is to repent. The kingdom is at hand, and do the works meet for repentance, as the Messiah said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, it's the same message. To repent and turn to God and do works that are worthy, or as it says in the authorized King James English here, works meet for repentance. For these causes, Paul continues, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that the Messiah, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light to the people and to the nations, or Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said, with a loud Paul, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, Festus was confused by the things that Paul was saying, so thought he was mad. Too much learning can do that to you. And you know, I see that there's some truth in what Festus is saying. You know, you get these scholarly people who go to, or these young punks that go to college and they adopt atheism and agnosticism and whatever as their religion. And then they just laugh and scorn. They're so far from faith, and they think that the Bible is nonsense, although they've never read it. But, of course, they've read about it, and then they read nonsense, scholarly-sounding nonsense that sounds good, but they never check it out for themselves. I've found a lot of that. And so this is kind of the thing that Paul, being, of course, an unregenerate man, thinks that Paul has fallen into this kind of nonsense, where he is become delusional. Of course, we know it's not true. And that's the way the world thinks about us, that we're delusional, the same way that Festus thinks about Paul. So he says, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. That's why people always say to me, Oh, you got to stop reading that Bible. All you read is you read that Bible. I tell them, you read the Bible. And then you come and tell me what's wrong with it. But no, they won't do that. So he's accused of madness. And we should all be in that club. Yes, being accused of being mad by the unregenerate and idolatrous world around us. But he said, Paul answers, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, where before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. So Agrippa is fairly, I guess, known for his understanding and probably study of the law and the prophets. So Paul is using that to goad him. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest, he says. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. A little bit, he lets it slip there, does he? Because kind of knowing, been keeping abreast of what's going on. But, you know, there's that idolatry there thing there. There's that love of wickedness and iniquity. And the things that you don't want to let go of those, even if you know the truth, even if you've been watching everything, if you don't want to let go of your sin, if you love the creation, the created thing, the pleasures of this world, the power and the money, if you love those things more than you love God, you just can't, just even though you understand a lot, you just can't quite get over the border because you have to repent. And then do the works meet for repentance or worthy of repentance. That's right. If you repent, that means you put off the works of darkness. And the work of repentance is to do righteousness instead. It's to look for the escape from, because our Heavenly Father, Paul wrote, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, where he says, there is no sin except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. So the righteous will repent, and they will start looking for the way of escape, because it's always provided. All we have to do is want it and desire it. Have that desire to live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father, and we'll start looking for the way of escape, the way to escape the temptation, rather than to continue to fall into it as we did in time past. And the more we practice taking that way of escape, looking for that way of escape, the more perfected or mature we become in the faith, and the more we have invested in his kingdom. And the more we invest in his kingdom, well, you know, where our heart is, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So we want to invest in his kingdom, and we want our investment to be so profoundly huge that we cannot turn back. And there comes a point, if you're walking in his kingdom and you're investing in his kingdom, there comes a point where you realize when the temptations come and you're tempted to do that which you ought not to do, you look and you say, I have too much invested. I cannot. My heart, my treasure is where my heart is. My heart is where my treasure is. And I've invested my treasure in his kingdom. And I can't give it up. We should all get to that state of maturity where we can walk in that way and proclaim that. Put our hand to the plow and don't turn back. And you'll get to that point if you aren't there already, to where you have so much invested that you cannot turn back, that there is nothing, not even your own life, is worth turning back for. And of course, I'm talking about your mortal life. Fear not them which can kill the body. That's right, because our investment in his kingdom should be that great. So Paul said, okay, wait. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, thou persuadest me almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Chapter 26 and verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for the bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa to Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. We're in chapter 27 and verse 1. And when it was determined that we should set sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Okay, so I see what's going on here. The we, that's what threw me off. We have the author again, including himself. So what we learn from this is that Luke, and he was one of those that was ministering with or to Paul for those years that he was with him. It's because he was there, he traveled with Paul prior, and sometimes I forget that as we're going through the narrative, but when I read this, we should sail to Italy, of course, because he had appealed to Caesar. So they're on their way to Rome, to Italy. They delivered Paul, certain other prisoners, to one Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into the ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, Aristarchus and a Macedonian of Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed to Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Okay, we'll pick up here after the break. Stay tuned for the news. We'll be back.